lane turns into a fork.
Yeah.
Sometimes people don't know what to do.
I feel like people that drive Priuses are prone to do more dumb shit in their car. And I can't tell if it's just like a confirmation bias sort of thing or...
The thing I heard somebody talk, I don't remember who it was, but they kind of put asshole moves in perspective for me.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically just saying like what kind of person thinks that like it, when you make those kind of moves, like you're essentially saying, I am more important than you are. Because like I am more important than like just going a block
right.
and
yeah.
making like
and
a safe
making
turn.
The correction, yeah. Like me doing this right now at your expense.
Yeah.
Is yeah.
It's like a purposefully aggressive move. And the only reason that I can think is that when people are in their cars, they're all, you know, tinted up and all this kind mm-hmm. of stuff. It's just that they have no concept of that there is a person.
Right.
It's just like a yeah. box.
But I think there's some of that, but I think there are also people, like, you never know their situation. Like, they could, it could be their first time driving in this city, and they're like, I don't,
That definitely
And the
happens.
Gut reaction yeah. is to, like, correct, yes. and then worry about it later. I feel like that's that type of move is something that like in-car GPS stuff probably reduces.
Yeah.
Because you know you can get right. Yeah. It's like the you know I'll fuck up this turn, but it'll eventually point me where I need to go.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah. Though this thing, man, like I was so when I was leaving SoCal,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to get onto I-5 as quickly as possible. So that I could drive a million miles an hour
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff. And the way that it determined me to do that was to drive, you know, a few dozen miles south, like away from where I was going mm-hmm. to hit that road and go back when I could have actually, I might have taken a little bit longer, but I'd mm-hmm. at least be heading in the right direction if I just went north right out of the gate and hit another freeway or whatever highway that cut over. And I eventually just said, fuck this, and made my own way. So for the longest time, it was like, every single exit, it was like, just get off here and yeah. turn the fuck around. What are you doing? Before it finally gave in and realized what I was doing or something.
This is a very interesting grouping of stores.
House of Persian Imports.
House of Persian Imports. It also says Haji's Hardware.
Uh-huh.
And Niki Oriental Massage for men and women.
For men and women.
None of those places looked...
like legit businesses?
Yes, they all looked like super... what?
Every single one's yeah. a front.
It's a valiant try, but you can't beat the bus. Have you been to Belden Place?
I haven't, but it's one alley and seven restaurants, according to the sign on this back of the
bus.
I
have been to Belden Place.
Yeah?
A couple times.
What is Belden Place?
It's just down kind of like in the financial district, like maybe right kind of close to the Irish Bank. Maybe a block or two away from that, if you uh-huh. know where that bar is.
Yeah,
it's near the Chinatown Gate.
Okay, yeah.
But it is. It's basically just this one side alley that happens to have... you know, whatever,
bunch
seven
restaurants yeah, yeah.
all jammed in next to each other, European style.
Huh.
So lots of like small outdoor
yeah.
small tables.
That sounds kind of cool.
It is. It's not bad. The food there is not the best, but it it's a good place to go on a nighttime. You know, sit outside and have a beer.
Yeah.
That's one thing I liked about when I went to Paris. And I guess you have that all through Europe. It's basically just the outdoor seating on the sidewalk.
Right.
And San Francisco probably does that better than most cities. We've got it in North Beach. Mm-hmm. That's very much like that, where you just have those little tiny tables that, you know, row up along the
sidewalk. I ate outside at a place when I was in Rome. That was the only kind of European sidewalk experience I had. It's like right after I got to Rome, my room wasn't ready yet. Ran into a couple of other people that were there on the trip. They're like, "We're going out for food." I'm like, "Okay, I'm taking all my bags with me, and this is dumb, but it beats sitting here losing my fucking mind in the lobby of this stupid hotel." It was great. It was cool. It's kind of the only thing I got to do on that whole trip that was not talk to Japanese men about video games. That was bad. That was actually interesting as well, but just didn't seem like the sort of thing one would have to go to Rome to accomplish. God, that whole trip was hairy. It was like not that long after we got bought. And it was the trip to Rome and then directly to Boston for PAX East.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So it was just like weird jet lag. Just weird all over. Just felt super crazy. Ended up listening to, like, I got it in my head in Rome that a funny thing to do at the Rock Band night would be to perform a song by John Drake's band. So I ended up listening to that song, like, probably 100 times in Rome.
That's ridiculous.
I already felt like I knew it pretty well, but it just... And then when it came time to perform it, I did not do that great of a job, so it's just... Dumb. But that was the thing, like, I flew into Boston and then basically had to drop my shit off and immediately go to that Rock Band night. So it was... I was not even human at that point.
I think I missed the Rock Band that year.
I'm gonna stop at this gas station right here.
I'm going to go do something crazy. I'm going to get a pre-dinner snack because I'm starving.
Yeah? All right. Just leave this in the car then and I can enjoy the silence. Depeche Mode style.
Yeah. Oh, Depeche.
Depeche.
No, they're a pre-Asian band.
Yeah.
can now tell you all the secret stuff about Jeff that he never wanted anybody to tell. There was this one time that something happened, and... Oh, hi there.
Oh, hello.
What? Nothing. Nothing at all.
What's going on?
You ruined it.
You're having private time.
It was. Chess. I bought a Sunkist 10, which is fucking ridiculous.
It's 10-calorie Sunkist.
No, it's not, because it's really 20-calorie Sunkist.
Oh, because it's two servings. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, who are they aiming for?
Dudes.
They're like, you want a little bit of flavor?
Yeah.
You don't want diet soda.
That was the whole thing. Like, that, because they did Dr. Pepper 10 at the same time.
Yeah.
And the whole sell was, like, yeah, we do Diet Dr. Pepper, but that's for women.
Yeah.
We want to market this to.
But that's what Coke Zero.
Yep, that is what Coke Zero is. That's what Pepsi Max is. Like, they're just trying to make diet sodas that don't seem feminine somehow, which is insane to me. Yeah,
see if
bugles.
The check. Oh, man, I was going to make
sorry,
that.
Yeah.
Because there's like a sound.
There's, yeah.
That bugles make.
It's almost like a squeak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love bugles.
Yeah.
The reasons I like bugles, they're pretty easygoing. They're not oily in any way.
Yeah.
Like a chip. They also give you a fucking shit ton of them. Which
too
I
many,
always like.
I can't finish a bag. I get sick of bugles before I finish a bag.
My boo. I'm always, like, worried the bugles will disappear.
Like, yeah, they seem, like, on the cusp of... Yeah. Like, there was that 90s ad campaign with Doc Severinsen. I was like, bugles! And it was like, Doc! Thinks they're fun to blow! And that was the funniest shit ever.
I didn't even know. I didn't even associate the shape with the bugle.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a... I would call them, like, corn husks.
Corn cones.
Corn cones. LCD sound system always reminds me of goose.
Yeah? You listen to a lot of LCD sound system?
No. Koontz?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. I never knew that.
Definitely this album all summer.
It's a great fucking album. Did you watch that documentary?
Where it was like their last concert or whatever?
Yeah.
I did not. Is it good?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Is it as good as the Fish documentary?
I didn't watch that. It's good because you can, like, tell that he feels pretty strongly about it. And then they play the show, and, like, there's this realization where, like, I've really fucked this up. Like, why did I stop doing this?
Oh, that they're killing the dam?
Yeah.
Oh. But they've stayed killed, right?
Yeah. So far.
Was he doing, he said, was it, I'm just going to assume, I haven't seen the movie, but just the assumption that every good band, like, goes to crap?
Yeah. Or that, you know, for them to keep doing it, like, you know, just, it would get big in a way that would be uncomfortable for him and his life, you know, like, they were getting bigger and getting bigger.
I used to do that. I've pretty much told a few people that if Wet Hook got more than, like, 10 people, I would step out. don't think I'm very good. At large crowd stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I really respect this dude, this James Murphy dude. He seems like a man of principle that kind of was making his own thing.
They, in a weird way, kind of remind me of Talking Heads.
Yeah. Yeah, like some of the songs are kind of talky.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was definitely one of the bands that, like, when me and Chris started our band, like, we were kind of listening to this and, like, a lot of the electro and stuff that was
moving. Gonna go under the bridge.
Yeah, I think at some point, like, we had listened to enough really simple, dumb electronic music to just go, like, man, we can fucking do that. And then just started making a bunch of really dumb electronic music. And then started thinking about making it better. And that fucked it all up.
You ever get in, like, gear trouble where you just kept buying, like, more expensive gear, assuming that it would make you guys better?
No, because, you know, everything was all software when we started, and it still largely is, so, like, I bought a lot of software instruments and packages and stuff like that, but that was kind of held to a minimum, and I bought, like, a keyboard, and then recently I bought, like, another, like, drum kind of MIDI controller thing, and my problem with that stuff and why it never became a gear trouble thing was that I don't know how to fucking use any of it. So I just get it and go, like, I shouldn't have bought this. I don't know how any of this stuff works. And that would usually prevent me from buying too much more of it.
When I was 19, 20 years old, I started learning guitar.
Yeah.
I also had dropped out of college and was making pretty decent money as a flash designer.
Yeah.
And I had fucking nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Learning guitar, I think I may have had, like, 4 guitars and a bass by the end of, like, 2 years. And it was just ridiculous. Like,
You were, like, barely competent at playing at all?
I could play, but not very well. Yeah. I could never play in a band. I couldn't, if you, like, strummed a chord, I couldn't tell you what that chord was, you know. But I had assembled my own guitar and painted it out of Warmoth parts.
Uh-huh.
I had an acoustic electric and an acoustic. And a bass. I had no idea how to play bass.
Not similar. You know, not similar to playing guitar, really. I can play bar chords on a guitar, and I can tune a guitar.
Yeah.
That's about it. So I can probably be in a band. Like, that's, you know, not a good band, but... But that was the nice thing about, like, so when I was living... at the compound, like, Chris played bass and he had a guitar, and then Jack, one of our other roommates, worked at a music store and he played the drums, but then at some point decided he was going to become a guitar player. So, like, he was getting a bunch of gear, and, like, they both knew how to play all of it and had a bunch of friends that had a bunch of shit. So, like, we had a Rhodes organ in the house and stuff, so it was perfect for me. Like, not really knowing how to play much, just being able to fuck around with everything. And at some point I got, like, kind of comfortable playing a bass, like, you know, not like pick it up and play. Like every time I picked it up, I had to relearn, like, okay, what was I playing before? Like, okay, this and all that. But like, I really enjoyed playing bass. Like, I kind of would like to spend more time playing bass and actually get to a point where I can play bass. But I probably won't. And I have, like, Chris left most of his stuff at my place when he moved out. So I have, like, 3 basses and 2 guitars just there. A couple amps. A bunch of pedals.
I saw Nicola at 2 gigs this weekend. Mm. She has 2 bands. One's a country band. And then the other one is more traditional bluegrass. Or purely traditional bluegrass band. The country band, though, is pretty fucking awesome. And it's mostly, like, a duet band.
Yeah.
So they just, like, find all the weird B-side tracks of, like, Tammy Wynette
yeah.
and George Jones.
Yeah.
And,
they got a steel guitar?
They have a fucking pedal steel guitar
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
That switches between pedal steel, playing a Telecaster, and, what's his other... And plays a fucking dobro, like, on some of the tracks.
Yeah.
They've got a fiddle in the band. The fiddle guy also plays accordion.
Okay.
Like, Nicole knows legit ass
yeah. musicians. That was the weird thing about, like, you know, like, me being in bands and, like, a lot of the dumb shit that I did is that, like, we were always surrounded by super fucking legit players.
Yeah.
Like, guys that were just, you know... Like, when Headboard added a live band and wasn't just dudes rapping over a mini disc,
mm-hmm.
like, it had, you know, 2 guitar players, like, one was technically excellent, and the other one was just, like, artistically amazing, Alex was the weak link as the drummer, you know, because he was 14, but he was a super solid drummer, and only got better, Yeah, it was weird, like, how we were able to attract, like, really good fucking players to just do dumb shit with us.
They also have a piano player, and a drummer. There's way too many people on stage.
Yeah.
And a stand-up bass.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun to see. And a bluegrass band is... They're fun, too, if you like bluegrass, but it's definitely more technical players. Like, they've got a guitarist that is as good a guitar, like, player as I've seen. Like, just a guy that can just run the neck.
I like fun bands, you know? Like, the technical stuff is impressive to me, too, but, yeah, like, the idea of, like, a country covers thing...
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. That band is super fun. And the guy that she sings with, he is part owner of the bar, so they're just the house band.
Yeah, great.
So they just play once a month. Yeah.
That was the Headboard secret, is that Glenn, the other guy that I started it with, was booking the Phoenix. So we opened for everybody. Part of why everyone hated us.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I actually really, really liked being in a band that people hated. Especially at that time when it was just like everyone was starting their fucking... Like, everyone had their fucking punk band, and there were a bunch of, like, indie bands, like emo stuff that was kind of just nascent, starting... That they took it all super seriously, and I was just like, fucking whatever.
If I was in a band, the band I would start would just be horns and hand claps.
Yeah.
Like that. Love horns in a rock band.
Yeah.
Love hand claps. There'd need to be like a hand clap break
in
every song.
a Viper around in a long time.
Yeah.
It's an older one.
Typical of an American car maker, too. It's like, even when they make kind of a decent car, the logo is just the fucking stupidest goddamn thing ever.
Well, it's like, on those it's older ones, it's like, here's a fucking snake. Or is it just a script?
It's just a script of, like, Viper. Looks like a Jurassic Park, you know, kind of.
Perfect.
I talked to my mom today, and she is absolutely fascinated with Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah?
Like, 100%.
Whoa. It's dangerous.
Doesn't understand it.
Uh-huh.
Like, what? How is this working? This is ridiculous. But at the same time, it's like, this place is fabulous. I didn't know they had a food section. I backed some pickling projects, you know?
Right. I wish that I had gotten, like, I didn't realize, like, hearing Drew describe, like, the sous vide machine that everyone got all hot on that was Kickstarter and is now hard to get.
The testing guys have that stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody, I don't understand why everybody...
I think it would work really well for me because I'm an idiot.
I think that's exact. So, it's funny... Because Ian said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, it's just...
That's because he listens to the podcast, and that's where I put forth my theory. They don't, you know... He is a man that also owns a toaster oven. I think he and I have a lot of similar ideas about food preparation. And the idea of, like, I could just take a steak and throw it in this thing, and if I put it in there too long, fine. Not a problem.
I think the bigger thing that I told him... was that you are not a person that, like, will have that much prep. You would never do that kind of prep. You've already talked to me about pulling things out, like, thawed and like, that you have to think about it a day ahead.
Yeah.
You're really going to wait 8 hours for your food? Like, it'll never fucking happen.
But it's not 8 hours. It's, like, two or something. It's not even...
Depends what you're cooking. But...
Yeah. You know, I'd probably make it, like, smaller, you know...
I just laughed with him, too. It's because he, like, barely had any pots.
Yeah.
It's like his first thing he wants is, like, this super specialized, like, cooking thing.
Yeah. So like, just get a fucking pan.
Yeah, you know what you need to do? Spend $20, get a cast iron pan. You can make anything in it.
Yeah.
Are we going to NW?
Yeah.
Let's do this. A rice cooker is a specialized thing that you can get.
I have one. It's
those
nice.
Are great.
Yeah.
And everybody makes rice enough that it makes sense.
I've used it twice.
That's ridiculous.
It's because you can't just have rice.
I think you didn't. You just tell me that you could just have rice.
I did.
Yeah. You put like a bunch of butter on it or something.
No.
I can't remember. What did you put
nothing.
On it?
My mouth.
Just rice.
Just rice. Oh. White rice. Sticky, like stuck together.
You're like a fucking Japanese daimyo.
That's me. Yeah.
You're using it as a currency.
Yeah.
Oh, is it this one?
It's coming up here, but it's like, I think it's a little bit down the hill.
I think it's this one.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure it's just the first one.
Right.
The city. Or we could go to that pizza place.
Yeah.
I don't care. this point, it is late enough in the night.
Yeah, I think the pizza place would be a little bit, or the A&W would be a little bit faster. And I kind of got my heart set on those cheese curds at this point.
All right.
I spent too much time thinking about the cheese curds to not get the cheese curds.
I know better this time than not to get the chicken. Here's what I want from the chat. Chat, can somebody give me a price check on some A&W mugs? I want to know if the mug price at A&W is too expensive. I think they're $5 for a nice mug. I'm curious what it would be just to buy like a 6-pack.
Right.
Because it can't be $30.
Yeah, there's just like 6 of them on Amazon or something.
People are saying it's priceless.
They've got a point.
$7 small, $12 large, that doesn't make any sense. That's too much money. Well, they are expensive.
Hmm. Are you sure they're $5 here?
I think so. I think it said $5. Hmm. I'm going to buy some.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy 2 mugs. Are we taking this with us?
Yeah, let's take it in. A&W is casual enough. They can handle it. Thing. This. All right, play it cool. Cheese and ketchup only, large diet Pepsi, kind of large.
Large diet Pepsi?
Yeah.
And only ketchup?
Yep. Could I also get...
You like large fries too?
Or? Yeah, large fries too. Thanks. Could I also get a quarter pound hot dog?
Relish and mustard and a quarter pound?
Just ketchup only on that too, actually. And an order of cheese curds. For air. Okay, thank you.
The sound of
success.
This is possibly my favorite Prince song.
Yeah?
Controversy.
Oh man.
It's just got like a good jam.
Yeah, it's really it is. It's really good. Let's see what I think. Get food for this time.
You didn't?
Yeah.
Well, you did get a lot of food.
I did.
So. Or no. Or
no. Yeah. Better just drink that down before it gets you.
Cheese curd, hot dog,
and a burger.
That's the one thing with Nicole that always freaks me out. She's not a Prince fan.
Hmm.
But I don't understand how anybody can not be a Prince fan.
Yeah.
Did she have an active dislike, or was just like indifferent about it?
I didn't really like Prince. It's not like, oh, he's terrible. Just more like, eh, I don't really like Prince. But it's not like she doesn't like the 80s, or that she's a bluegrass musician that just doesn't like fun music.
Yeah, yeah.
But she still like Prince. I'm like, how do you not? It's so easy to like, especially like all the 80s hit stuff.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, like you could not like the stuff that he's done more recently because it's a little, it's a lot sketchier, you know?
I really, that's one thing that I've kind of told myself I want to really kind of learn late era Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be like, I want to get it, I want to really listen through all of Emancipation.
I want to listen to Black Sweat over and over again. That was how I knew Brad was okay. That was one of the early signs, like, all right, yeah, I can work with this dude. Mm-hmm. He showed up out of college and was just like way into Prince and Outkast. I'm like, all right, yeah. Or mostly just way into Prince, but seemingly into Outkast. I think Brad is actually the biggest Prince fan.
I once met a girl when I was at the University of Wisconsin when I was there for my 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
She was from Minnesota and was like grilling me on Prince and was definitely the biggest Prince fan I've ever met. And I did not pass the test.
Wow. Close enough, at least?
No, in fact, I learned how little I knew.
Mm.
Especially at that time.
Did anything come out today? Anything?
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh.
Did I read that that just kind of snuck in or something?
It's a weird, like a little while ago, the Xbox One version vanished from retail. They canceled all the pre-orders. Like something happened with it. and Activision put out a statement that was like, we're working with Microsoft to get the Xbox One version out, and then it just showed up today on their digital store. But the discs still haven't hit. So I don't know.
Maybe they had like a bad print or something.
It happened early enough that they probably wouldn't have been in manufacturing.
Jeff, I'm trying to figure out your shirt.
It's
a pretty unique shirt.
There's a blog and Twitter account that goes along with this that explains it.
But it's strange that it's a person wearing a shirt on the shirt.
Yeah.
Rather than
it's the image you would use to promote this shirt.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what makes it so special.
That's exactly what it is. Jason Walliner, who's worked with Human Giant, and that was on MTV. And he worked on Eagleheart, the Chris Elliott show that's on now.
There's a Chris Elliott show on now? Wow, I'm excited about that.
He's played a cop. Brett Gelman is on it. He's pretty good. I think right around the time that Jay Leno was peeking back on a TV and Conan was losing The Tonight Show, he started this elaborate storyline about trying to sell a t-shirt that was Jay Leno's face on the Che Guevara, and it's J-E apostrophe. And then eventually goes down this weird rabbit hole of him murdering an old man for cocaine money, and like just, and all along the while there's all these bad t-shirt designs related to it. So when this one went up on the site with a note that says, please don't buy this shirt, it's an accident that it's here, I'm like, well, this is going to be the one that I'm going to get. Because you can get that one. And then the original one was like Jay Leno's face bigger, to the point where you couldn't even tell it was Jay Leno.
Do you remember Chris Elliott on Letterman? Like, do you remember back that one?
I went back and watched some of it, I think. But I didn't really watch Letterman a lot then.
Letterman was always my favorite.
Yeah. Me too.
I think it was just more my style. I also like that Letterman kind of didn't give a fuck about who was on his show.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't trying to please anybody. Mm-hmm. He was like, hey, you're on my show.
Yeah. Craig Ferguson is leaving his show by the end of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I told you I listened to an audio book. That was his, like, biography.
Yeah.
That was very good. Mm-hmm. Wasn't what I wanted.
Yeah.
Because I kind of always liked it. I didn't mind his show.
Mm-hmm.
It was always really funny with him. I had always forgotten that he was on Drew Carey. And I just thought he was just some Scottish dude.
Yeah. Right.
I'm sure there's got to be a reading for him. Is he leaving?
He's probably
leaving. Getting kicked out.
That show was popular. I mean,
yeah, but I bet not verse Seth Meyers. They need to, like, get somebody that's... They now need to get an edge in that opposite bracket. Like, or at least test out an edge, you know?
Yeah. That edge is me.
Yeah.
Start a letter writer campaign for him. I already work for CBS.
Sure.
That's the thing with the producer of Jimmy Fallon's show used to work for G4, and like they had video game stuff on. I don't know if a lot of video game stuff on the Tonight Show now that he's an hour earlier. Maybe that doesn't make as much sense.
I bet they do.
Yeah, I'd hope so. You know, someone else has to be out there getting doing video game stuff. I think doing a late night talk show would be really fun.
I do too. I think it's a great job. I bet it would be tiring.
Yeah, sure.
But it would be consistent.
I mean, you'd have a staff, you know, a writing staff. Like just building that machine that puts that show out every day. I bet it's one of those things that, like, everyone that works on the show is just excited about the dumb comedy segments, and most of the people watching are there for whatever celebrity's on that night.
Yeah.
You know?
Who told me this song? London Rant or something. Somebody we know. Recently saw me at the show. They're like, yeah, it's lots of clapping. Like, lots of forced applause.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I think being the warm-up comic would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Bardo have that job for a while?
He has it for Conan, still. Yeah.
Impossible to hear this song and not think of Top Gun.
Yep. I wouldn't want it any other way. I wonder what Comedy Central will do with the Colbert slot.
It's kind of weird because I bet they would have liked to have kept John Oliver.
Yeah. He has a terrible time for all that stuff because, like, he would be the obvious choice. I wonder if he's like, fuck. Like, doing this weekly show on an HBO that no one's going to ever see.
People seem to, you know, the early reviews at least have said it's pretty good.
Yeah, I bet it is. But I mean, it's still not four nights a week.
Yeah, but it's still
on basic cable, like more people.
It can be funnier because of that. Like, wasn't Chris Rock singing once a week too?
Yeah.
So. And Politically Incorrect was once a week.
Yeah.
Or whichever version that Bill Maher one was. Always changed.
God, I can't stand Bill Maher.
I used to like him. I would say like 10 years ago, I thought he was really interesting. But he seems to have just morphed into an asshole.
Mm-hmm. I just can't think of anyone else that's on The Daily Show that would spin off into that. Wyatt Snack still on The Daily Show? He's good.
Comedians that can be in a suit.
Yeah.
Like Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers, it wasn't hard because they did Weekend Update.
Right. Oh, that'd be pretty good. This guy says give it to John Hodgman. That'd be a real weird fucking show.
I actually think, as much as I don't like him as an actor, I think Mary would probably be pretty decent just because I like his interview style.
Hmm.
I don't think he'd be good for anything else. I think he would be a good Larry King.
Yeah.
He did a Larry King style show. Are you done? Did you finish?
Yeah.
Wow.
Finishing the drink here.
It's awesome.
Bugs acquired.
You don't actually need to plug it in. Kill the microphone, so.
I am going to read this long...
Like the story of A&W.
Yeah. What does A&W stand for?
Delicious root beer. Thanks for asking.
A&W stands for Allen and Wright, the founders of the iconic brand. But it also stands for root beer and burgers. Please and thank you. Good food and good times. It's a symbol of great things naturally brought together by the encouraging magic of and. Every time that there's an and, by the way, it's the ampersand. Sorry, this is hard for me to read.
I thought I was going to get one.
That's the way it's always been since our first root beer stand opened in Lodi, California in 1919. Lodi. The magic of the and has always brought folks together to share an original experience centered around distinctive tastes. Frosty Bugs of genuine draft A&W root beer. Handcrafted with real cane sugar, 100% USB burgers, classic Coney dogs, our unique 100% Wisconsin white cheddar cheese curds. All your favorites served hot and fresh with a friendly smile. And top off that with the experience with A&W root beer, creamy soft serve cascading over a cold frosty mug. Our famous A&W root beer float. It's the and that brings it all together. A commitment to quality that's true to our roots. It's uncommon hospitality that makes you feel right at home. It's the total experience that genuine, unique, It's your A&W.
Okay.
Eats, treats, smiles. Also, I have never seen more trademark logo like notices in a...
In bad copy?
Yeah, in just weird ass fucking soliloquy that's on this.
Let's head on over to the Adams and Wright.
Is that what it was? I already forgot what the interview stuff was.
Alan. Says it all, Jeff.
Yep. Now we need to really take things to the edge. Take some phone calls.
Uh-oh.
It's 707-925-2662.
707-925-2662.
Yeah. Give us a call.
It should work. You think I could come over Giant Bomb and just do the phone call show?
Yeah.
For no reason?
Yeah, sure.
Like, I have no... Just want to come over and do that old show again?
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
Take questions about site features? What was the number?
707-925-2662.
925.
There it goes.
Oh, there you got a call. Looks like it's cool.
Yeah. All right. Area code 979.
Hey.
Hello, you're on the air.
What? Hey, this is Mary from Austin.
Hi, Mary from Austin. How's it going?
Pretty cool. I don't know. I can't believe I actually got in. Nobody else was brave enough to call. What the hell? Come on, you guys.
Somebody's calling, but you got in first.
Yeah, you got in first. So what's on your
mind?
Okay,
cool.
What's going on in Austin?
Not much. It's pretty hot now. Springtime. Actually, really, it just kind of just goes to summer.
Right, just kind of jumps over spring and it just gets hot immediately.
Do the bats come out? When do the bats come out? Summertime?
So many people are swimming right now, it's ridiculous. It's not me. I'm using the computer, like, constantly, as you can tell. I'm just a total nerd on the phone right now.
But yeah, are there bats?
Bats, right under the bridge in Austin?
Yeah, they totally are. They mainly show up in the summer, especially, like, underneath the Congress Bridge. And around 45 in Round Rock, there's actually a pretty big colony over there, too. They're really fun to watch. They just come out with a big ribbon streaming out. It's really crazy.
Huh. There used to be a few bats that would live in the, like, space between the aluminum siding and the wall at my parents' shop. And certain times of the year, you would see bats flitting about, and it was, like, really fucking freaky. Because I was a small child, and bats were scary.
Yeah, in summer, you would actually see them a bunch, like, buzzing around the street lamps, getting mosquitoes and stuff. I lived in high school. Pretty cool.
That's how Batman was made, by the way, Jeff.
Yeah?
Yeah. He did not turn into... Are you Batman?
No.
Okay.
I don't think he'd really be allowed to talk about it if he was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not Batman myself either.
There are pretty strict rules about it. Do you have any questions for Dave or myself this fine evening?
Nope. I just wanted to see if I could get in.
All right.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna get going. Thanks for calling, Mary. We'll talk to you some other time. Bye.
See you, Mary.
Everybody?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mary.
Unknown caller. To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail, press 2.
I'm just gonna hang up. I got controls over here.
Oh, okay.
We'll just take the next call that comes in because I don't know what happened right there.
Sorry about that, Mary. The other thing I wanted to do was listen to a bunch of Billy Idol.
Yeah?
Like, I want to listen to the albums.
I don't know that I could ever do that. Maybe just Cyberpunk. You know, fuck around with the floppy disk that came with it. Someone actually sent us that. Sent us a copy of Cyberpunk with the disk.
That's pretty cool.
I think the disc is like a Mac HyperCard stack or something. That number again is 707-925-2662. So, there we go. Here's somebody. The 604. Hello, who is this?
This is Doc Barker. Who is this?
I can't really divulge that, man. You call this? You call my Google Voice number. You know what you need, or you don't know what you need.
Hey, man, I'm just calling a number. I don't know where I got it. It's just a number. I don't know. Don't blame me.
All right. Where are you calling from? What's the 604 about?
604 is where it's at. I don't know. It's a place on the planet, and I'm just calling to ask you, like, ketchup chips.
Ketchup chips. I had them once. I mean, you don't really find them here because it's not Canada. But yeah, I don't know.
It's a great flavor, but unfortunately, you guys just don't know the joys of ketchup chips, and I want you guys to know.
Yeah, I had them like once, maybe twice, and they were just weird, you know, because they're not common. So it's just like, here's this weird. Why is that happening? Why is there ketchup?
Yeah, they're pretty amazingly acidic. But I also have another thing about food is caramel is and peanut butter is way better than chocolate. And chocolate is overrated. And you guys also don't have Mr. Big or Wonder Bars.
Yeah, I'm not huge on chocolate. I'm kind of with you there on some of that stuff.
I'm a big caramel fan.
Yeah, caramel's great.
You get by in caramel.
Yeah, peanut butter's fantastic.
I like the salt on caramel.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a combo. I feel like a gourmet eater of candy.
Yeah, it makes you feel all fancy.
Bob Barker, is this the Bob Barker from Warframe?
Yeah, this is Bob Barker from Warframe.
That's right.
part of your Warframe posse.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're everywhere.
The Tenno rolling around.
You don't even know about my Warframe posse. I got all the Warframes, and I want to know what your favorite mid is for Warframe.
Yeah, what's your favorite, Dave?
I have not played enough of that game to have favorites. I only have two Warframes. I've got Nova and, what is it, Mag?
Man, I only have one Warframe. I feel so inadequate.
I'm still figuring that game out. I will be honest.
Mm.
I've made it into the earthen realms, but that's about it. Are you still playing a lot?
Yeah, I'm still playing Warframe. I don't know. It's going pretty far. It's slowing down. I got to go out and do the void thing, which involves like the high tier thing, and I don't know. I'm sort of scared to actually put money into it. I spent like probably like 30 hours playing that game without spending any money, though.
Yeah, I put in $20 just because I wanted to. I gotta have as much time for games these days with the kid. So I just tried it just because I was like, Jesus, I just want to try a different weapon. And it really bums me out that you can't get a lot of the... You can buy like a couple of the weapons with the free stuff, but the rest of it's crafting. And all the crafting, unless you're like doing a lot of research, feel like you have to open up all the areas first.
Yeah, the one thing that bugs me about the weapons is that... once you find one you really like and you level it up, you now have to pick a new weapon, otherwise you're not increasing your mastery ranks. You're constantly being forced to leave weapons that you really want to use because you need to grind the new weapon.
Yeah, so I'll explain this to Jeff. Do you know that part?
That all sounds understandable.
But it is the bummer.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, and then you suddenly aren't as powerful as you were before.
Right, yeah.
It sucks. Yeah. The frames aren't as bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I'll let you guys get the next call, though. I don't want to clog up the lines.
All right, cool.
Can do. Thanks for calling.
See you, Bob. Ketchup chips. Just sounds gross.
Ian's in here. He's in the chat.
Yeah.
I like his avatar because it is pretty much just like him looking dead-eyed with a beard into his Mac.
So...
like, just the Mac cam.
Yeah. 250. Yo!
Hey, Jeff and Dave.
Yo.
Who is this? Where are you? Who's this and where are you calling from?
This is Jared from Vancouver Island in Supernatural, BC.
Nice.
All right.
How's it going?
Jeff, I just have a quick question for you.
All right.
As a picky eater myself, how do you deal with the stigma of like veggies? going to get a burger and you don't want the veggies, but they just insist on it. How do you deal?
I don't really know that. I haven't really had too many situations where it's been insisted upon. I can usually get around it.
You're a scraper? If you get it?
You know, it depends on what it is, because, like, there's no scraping mayo. Like, mayo just ruins a burger, and it won't, you know, there's really no saving it at that point. You either have to just be willing to accept that it's going to taste like crap, or, you know, throw it away or something. So, I've definitely...
mayo, but relish...
Yeah, relish, no good either. But you know, like lettuce, tomato, onions, like that sort of stuff. Like I can yank that off. It's not a big deal.
I used to be a picky eater that way, and then I just gave up and said I don't want to wait.
I'm in the process of giving up, in a similar way, for sure. Like
it was a time thing.
Right. Well, I really appreciate you guys' show. It's extremely entertaining. I won't keep you any longer.
Cool. All right.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, I don't like mayo either.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I'll just eat whatever they put on. Because I think what was happening too is I was ordering with other people, and that's when it would really bother me.
Uh-huh.
Because like other people were then having to wait on me getting
right.
food.
Yep.
Later.
Yeah. Yeah, I've made strides. I'm slowly coming out of my food shell, but I doubt that that'll ever get me to a point where I'm like into mayonnaise. It's already got me to a point where like I'll have salsa on a burrito or you know that sort of stuff. But all right, 941.
There are burritos without salsa.
Oh yeah,
nuts.
Got to order them without it. Hello, who is this? Where you call from?
Hey, I'm calling from Florida.
Yeah, Florida.
All right, Florida. Late night.
Late night.
It is late night, but totally worth it. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thanks. What's going on in Florida tonight? What are you doing up this late?
I'm just trying to get... I just can't in control falling asleep. What do you guys do when you can't fall asleep so good?
I pretend like I'm playing a video game in my head. No joke.
You know what? I sort of do that. Sometimes I pretend that I am seeing a flying jet from behind.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, you're behind the jet? Or
yeah.
you're looking over
like
your shoulder
at a jet? No, third-person view of a jet.
Okay.
Like afterburner
Do you
style.
Fall asleep on planes or something?
No, I can't fall asleep on planes for shit. I'm too tall for the seats.
What a weirdly comforting image.
Yeah, I don't know. You know,
yeah, because they say that you're not supposed to look at TVs when you're trying to fall asleep like 3 hours or something beforehand. I don't know if I agree with that or not.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've definitely fallen asleep watching TV or, you know, there was a while there that I was listening to music or listening to podcasts and stuff like that and falling asleep. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really had too much trouble falling asleep.
I read a
lately.
Book.
Yeah.
I'll read.
Yeah,
I'll, you know, I'll normally give myself like 10 pages into a book, and that'll knock me out.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a book that I don't like all that much.
Oh yeah.
And can
read a bad book, like a boring book, will put you right out.
But also, what do you guys think about middle names?
Middle names? I think they're weird.
I think they always tend to be. Like largely prissy than normal. Like they, you know, you always get like a fancier middle name
right.
than you would normally. It's like the olden time name.
Yeah, yeah. I always had the impression. I always feel that like middle names should be like that's where you give your kid a dumb weird name.
Nicole has no middle name.
That's cool. So what does she write on? She put an X.
She just didn't have one.
Like so Hector X Delgado,
yeah,
G.I. Joe's
sure.
Shipwreck.
What is your middle name?
It's on the internet. You can find that shit.
Okay.
It's out there.
All right. Mine is Edward.
Yeah? It's just like plain kind of.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just like, and you can never like, you know, shorten up the middle name. You couldn't say like David Eddie.
Well, like, I know, yeah,
you know,
yeah, right.
David Ed.
But if you, you know, it could be one of the situations where if you have the exact same name as your father, like you're a junior or a third
uh-huh.
or whatever, like I have, you know, a friend of mine who goes by his middle name and he has shortened it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's that case, but yeah, I would be tempted.
Well, you're never going to believe this, but I'm the ninth in my family's name. I mean, I have a Roman numeral 9 at the end of my name.
That's fucking badass, dude.
You're like a pope.
People ask me if I'm a king. I tell them yes, but
yeah.
it is the truth. Now there's some fudging it, you know. I mean, we all don't have the same middle name, but it is true. There's a family picture of all of us who have the same name. We all have our respective fingers holding which numeral we are, and it's pretty cool that we can do that. I'm excited because my child, if it's a boy, will finally be number 10, so his
yeah.
number is going to be just this wicked X.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He'll be like a vampire,
like,
either that or you're a part of George Foreman's family.
Yeah, he'll be like Jason X.
I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll see you guys.
Anyway, I don't want to take up other callers' time, but yeah, thanks for doing this. You guys have been
following you for years, and keep it up.
Cool. Thanks. See you later, dude.
Bye.
Goodbye from Florida.
Goodbye, and goodbye from Florida. Goodbye, Dave.
Goodbye, me.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take my Funyuns.
Bugles.
Funyuns are different.
Yeah, Funyuns are gross.
And then I'll take my A&W cups. And I will bid you adieu. I'll pick you up in the morning?
Yep.
All right.
Let me get out of this driveway here before I take this call. It just says phone call in progress. I mean, yeah, I know that. I just want to pick it up here. Hello?
Greetings, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Who is this? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Dallas.
Dallas. How's it going in Dallas? Is it super hot? Already, or
it's pretty mild right now.
Cool.
About 70 degrees. But I was just curious, how would you rate your meal tonight at A&W? Thank you, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay. See, the problem with the off the air calls is that means someone else can call. The burger was a little off. The hot dog was good. The fries were okay. The cheese curds, it seemed like I got less than normal. I don't know. Maybe I was just hungrier, so I tore through them more quickly. But the burger was slightly lackluster, I'll say. But the rest of it was fine. They pour an A-OK Diet Pepsi out there. Diet Pepsi is the better of the two diet drinks. Diet Pepsi versus Diet Coke. Diet Pepsi is the one. There's some people out there that are like, oh, Diet Pepsi tastes like rat poison. And I'm like, nah. All right. I got that answer out before the next call came in. Hey, who's this? Where are you calling from?
This is Josh from North Carolina.
Yeah, Josh. What's the word out of North Carolina tonight?
Oh, man, just sitting back, vaping some of my juice.
Nice.
Enjoying myself.
What kind of e-liquids you into, man? How decadent is that vape?
I got some Brandy Alexander up in my tank right now.
Nice. what is that actually tastes like?
I can't really taste it anymore, man. Like, I vape it every day. I can't taste that shit anymore.
Oh, all right. My friend who vapes is always getting different flavors, and it's always like cotton candy and Dutch apple pie and all this other weird shit. And the whole thing is...
We got, like, artisanal fucking guys out here. Like, I used to be a bartender. Now I make fucking juices for a living.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy. But yeah. I buy my shit from a guy. He used to be a bartender, but whatever.
Yeah, your vape guy. You got a yeah. Vape guy.
I got my guy. I go to. I get my batteries from him and my juices from
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm. All your liquids and your rigs and need a new vaping rig because the coil on this one has gotten all. Yeah, that stuff is all super weird. That's the thing. Like anything that is like that. Like even just like. Like, you know, it's just like microbrew beers or anything. Like, people can just get so particular about the specifics of their hardware and all that other shit. It's like people's fascination with bongs, only, like, slightly more socially acceptable.
Yeah, slightly.
Yeah.
You still kind of look like a creep sitting in the bar.
Yeah.
With your giant battery, like, just poking away at it. But, you know. Better than smoking cigarettes, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. I mean, it's not like they probably have not done as many tests on this stuff, so maybe it's secretly way worse.
I'm hedging my bets. Let's go. Let's go. Not carbon monoxide.
Right, and yeah, it seems like, yeah, that's definitely a good step in the right direction. Did you smoke heavily before vaping became big?
I was a pack a day for like 10 years, yeah.
A friend of mine was like 1 to 2 packs a day, I think. And now he has completely switched over to vaping and seems to be doing better. That same type of stuff, like, oh, you know, just his lungs feel better. It doesn't feel like a fucking nightmare that smoking real cigarettes apparently do. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, me and the wife quit at the same time. We're both on the juice.
Yeah, and are you thinking about?
I can walk for like upwards of 20 minutes now without wanting to kill myself.
Nice. Are you thinking about weaning yourselves off of the vape eventually too, or are you just like you're into this and you're going to stay into this?
I'm on it for right now, man. And when, you know, if the time comes, I'll stop. But I'm happy I'm not smoking more than anything else.
Right. Yeah. And you know, there's all that oral fixation, just of the feeling of having something like the ritual of smoking. Like I know when my dad quit. Like, you know, it's been years, you know, it's been a while now, and he still, you know, will absentmindedly fish in his pocket, like he's looking for a cigarette, and then realize, like, oh, of course, there are none there, because I don't smoke anymore. That stuff just seems, like, super hard to beat.
My grandfather quit, I think, when he was in his 30s, and he told my dad when he was in his 50s, there's still not a day that goes by that I don't actually want a cigarette. It's just whether I have one or not.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
It's insidious.
Yeah, it really is. It's scary. I've never actually smoked a cigarette. Like growing up around my dad, who smoked for years, and then he switched to chewing tobacco for a while, and then switched back to smoking. Yeah, it was just that stuff just always seemed so gross. I just didn't want any part of it.
Well, that's a smart choice. Those of us thought we were cool, made less.
Well, you know, I had to suffer with being less cool. Like that was the trade off is that I, you know, had to be super uncool for a while there, and that's that's limiting in its own way.
We all have our burdens in life, you know.
Yep, it's true. All right, man. All right,
man. I'm going to let someone else get on the line.
Cool. All right, good talking to you, man. Have a good night.
You too, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep, see ya.
Later.
And that's going to do it. Because I'm almost home. Later than I had hoped to get home, but the podcast had to happen. I'm glad I got that published before I left. Like, as soon as we finished, I was looking at the clock. I'm like, I mean, I could just take the file on my laptop and produce the podcast when I get home. But I was like, if I just bust it out really fast, I could probably get it going. I'm glad I got it done, because now at least I'm home and don't have to really do much of anything else. Work-related, anyway. It's some extremely important stuff to do here tonight, but not work. Bring these garbage cans in, but instead, how about I leave them out here all night and bring them in the morning? That is a great fucking plan. All right. All right, well, I'll be back in the morning probably, I guess, right? And maybe we can, well, I guess we can't really take calls in Dave's car. But I don't know. Maybe we'll figure something out. Have a good night, everybody. See ya.